Scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, that is Jesus, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." May God bless the reading of this word. This is a time for children to come forward, and Don is going to lead it.
Friends, we have a small group today. As I always say, I'm invite any children at heart can come up too if you want to partake in a story. I see you, Natalie and Kate back there. You know, I'm just kidding. You're like, no. You know I'm going to do that. I'll call you out. Oh, my goodness. I love you little ladies there. Okay. Hi, friends. We have some new friends today. How are you guys? I know you've been here before. So, yeah. So we are changing our children's donations today. And hi, you guys. Hi, Enzy's coming back there. We are going to be giving our money now to Lutheran Immigrations and Refugee Services. They are an organization that helps, again, refugees and immigrants. Does anybody know what refugees are? Anybody know what refugees are? Hi, you guys. You got some money for us? All right. That's a lot of coins. Come on in. So refugees are people who are... Nice job. You guys got some there. Yeah, Mom's got some over there too. There are people who are forced out of their countries because of violence and that people who are not very nice to them. And I know that Ryan's going to talk a little bit today in his sermon. I don't know how much it's going to be children friendly, but you know, so we can understand. He's like, yeah. The understanding that sometimes there are things that people do in our nice to each other. A lot of times people are hurt with some of the actions that other people do. So when I was thinking about what to talk about during our children's story, my thought is this is one of my favorite books, and that's kind of a go-to book that I go to when we talk about how do we kind of remember that everybody in this world is, we live on the same earth, we look at the same stars every night, we look at the same sky. And so it's just kind of a reminder for that. So I'm thinking when we read books, we kind of all need to be somewhere around here. So you guys want to kind of gather around? Everybody want to gather around here so we can read the story? You want to sit there? You can stay there. Okay. So when I show, sometimes it's hard to read upside down. So I'll read it and I'll kind of just make sure everybody gets to see the stories because this person has a good illustrator in her books. It's called Whoever You Are by Mem Fox. And Mem Fox is a great children's author. So it says, "Little one, whoever you are," I could maybe do this upside down. "Wherever you are, there are little ones just like you, all over the world." Those great pictures. Says their skin may be different from yours, and their homes may be different from yours. Can you see Olivia? Can you see it? I like how she frames the pictures. Their schools may be different than yours, different writings there. And their lands may be different than yours. You see that? Their lives may be different from yours, and their words may be very different from yours. But inside, their hearts are just like yours, wherever they are, wherever they are, whoever they are, wherever they are, all over the world. Their smiles are like yours, and their laughs. They laugh just like you. You guys laughed? Yeah. Do we laugh during the summer? I think it's fun to laugh during the summer. Yeah. Can you laugh during school?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. Their hurts are like yours, and they cry just like you too. Whoever they are, wherever they are, all over the world. Little ones, when you are older and when you are grown, you may be different. The lady's a doctor. And they may be different wherever you are, wherever they are, in this big, wide world. But remember this. Joys are the same. And love is the same. Pain is the same, and blood is the same. Smiles are the same, and hearts are just the same. Wherever they are, wherever you are, wherever we are, there you go. All over the world. This is a favorite story of mine because I guess it reminds us that we have people all over the world. It doesn't matter if they're refugees. It doesn't matter if they're migrants. It doesn't matter if they were born here or born somewhere else, the color of their skin. We are all God's children. So let's do a final prayer before we go back. Dear God, thank you for being the God of people, whoever they are and wherever they are, all over the world. Amen. Good job, you guys. Thank you.
You may remain seated and turn your hymnal to hymn number 369. Number 369.
Who are on the cross forsaken. Let's pray. God, your word is hard. It shakes us at our core and calls us to new ways of living, ways which make us uncomfortable, truths that we often don't want to bear. Give us patience and peace as we gather around your word this morning and bring forth whatever truth you have for us to hear. Amen. Last September, Masai Mubarez received a surprising call from his wife, Amina, at 4 a.m. When he answered, he could only hear panic in her voice. Amina was calling from the Afghan province of Wardak, where she lived with their 7 children. After war broke out in the region, Masai had to find work across the border in Iran to support the family. Amina told her husband that she heard buzzing everywhere in the sky. But since it was dark, no one could tell what was going on. So Masai told her to turn off her phone and to keep the children inside. He'd give her a call at 9 a.m. In the meantime, he tried to learn what he could. But at 9 a.m. when he dialed his wife's number, her phone was off. He tried again at 9:30, still off. Through the whole of that day and the next, he repeatedly called, but Amina's phone remained off. It took a whole nother day for Masai to learn the truth. A U.S. unmanned aerial vehicle, a weaponized drone, had wreaked havoc on Masai's small town. Masai's house was blown up in the process, killing Amina, their 7 children, and 4 cousins who were also living with them. Amina was 32. Masai's children ranged from 4 to 14. The cousins, all girls, were aged from 10 to 16. We still don't know all the details of what happened on September 22nd of last year when drones dropped bombs on the small town of Mula Hafiz. But we do know that Masai's house was not the intended target. A nearby prison was. But the drones missed, and missed badly. For months afterwards, our government claimed that the attack had been successful, that no civilians had been killed, but Masai knew otherwise. And only when Masai reached out to the New York Times earlier this year did the truth begin to come out. A drone strike had annihilated 12 innocent people while completely failing to hit its intended target. Masai's family, sadly, was just another in a long list of civilians who have been accidentally terminated by an American drone. In his interview, Masai explains that for most of his adult life, he had been a school teacher, trained by a nonprofit Swedish organization. He loved to farm, to teach, and to be around his children. Prior to my house being bombed, I had a normal life. I was married with 4 daughters and 3 sons, Masai told a reporter. Our life was full of love. All of that snuffed out in an instant by a weaponized drone. Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from the heaven and consume them? This is the question the disciples asked Jesus as they traveled together through Samaria. But when I hear the disciples' question, I can't help but think about what is happening daily in Somalia, Libya, Yemen, Pakistan, the Philippines, Iraq, Afghanistan, and much of North Africa. That's our country's current love affair with killer drones. Unmanned aircraft armed with smart bombs, hellfire missiles, operated by individuals somewhere here in the United States. Every year for the last 15 years, we have aggressively increased the amount of drone strikes around the world. They were Obama's weapon of choice, and they are Trump's too. These drones aren't named predators and reapers for nothing. They are killing machines. With no judge or jury, they obliterate lives in an instant. The lives of those who are deemed by someone, somewhere, to be terrorists, along with all those like Masai's family, who are accidentally or incidentally killed in the process. And while these killing machines may be cost-effective and may be saving some American lives, they are killing innocent victims at an alarming rate. This year, our government passed a law stating that it no longer has to comment on civilians who are killed in drone strikes. However, thanks to Daniel Hale's courageous whistleblowing of the drone operation, we now know that almost 90% of people who are murdered in these strikes are innocent civilians. Let that number sink in. 90%. This is what our government deems to be acceptable collateral damage. In Syria alone, a conservative guess is that more than 2,000 children have been killed from our strikes in the last 5 years. And this week, I read story after story of weddings and funerals being targeted simply because there was a large people gathered in one place. Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from the heavens and consume them? It's clear that this is just the beginning. Killer robots are the next of this world's armed race. In Syria, on any given day, you can expect to find a dozen or more countries flying their drones in the skies. And it's only going to get worse. In the years to come, we are going to exponentially hear about consuming fire hurling from the skies, leaving behind many more victims, many more families like Masai's, all so that we can enact vengeance on our enemies. While predator drones with Hellfire missiles hurling fire from the skies were not exactly what the disciples had in mind that morning when they were in Samaria, those drones do help us understand the disciples' request. Our gospel text opens with a pivotal verse in Luke's story. It says that when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem. These verses mark a shift in Luke's gospel. Today we find ourselves at the beginning of Jesus' long trek to Jerusalem, to his death. But there's a problem. To get to Jerusalem, first, the disciples and Jesus have to make their way through Samaria. Before embarking on this journey, Jesus sends a hospitality committee ahead to a nearby Samaritan city to prepare a place for him and his disciples. But when Jesus reaches the city, he decides to bypass it, to continue moving forward. Scripture doesn't tell us why Jesus changes his mind, though in light of the first verse, it's clear that Jesus' mind is set on Jerusalem. He wants to get there as quickly as possible. Continuing onward just highlights the urgency of Jesus' mission. But that's not how the disciples view Jesus' action. It's important to remember that their disciples, they are good Jews. And Jews and Samaritans, they don't like each other very much. They'd been entered into a feud for hundreds of years long, ever since the Assyrians invaded the northern kingdom and marched off all the Jews in the north away. Then the Assyrians recolonized the land with their prisoners. And with a little time and a lot of necessity, all the Jews that were left behind, they decided that they had to marry those that had repopulated the area. So the Jews mixed the bloodlines. And for the Jews of the South, this was scandalous. This was something that could never be forgiven. Mixing bloodlines. The Samaritans in the process had watered down the faith, had polluted the family. They had sold out, they had given up. And the Jews never forgave the Samaritans for this act of betrayal. So when Jesus bypasses the Samaritan town, the disciples see Jesus as displaying the same condemnation and hatred that they have towards these people. They see Jesus harboring the prejudice, the judgment that they long for him to have. So they ask Jesus the question that they think he would be happy with. Lord, should we command heaven to come down and consume them? The disciples, like many in our world, have no problem resorting to violence when dealing with one's enemies. Jesus' response, though, is interesting. Verse 55 tells us that Jesus turns to the disciples and he rebukes them. Only here in all of Luke's gospel does Jesus rebuke flesh and blood. Elsewhere, we see Jesus rebuking the wind, rebuking fevers, rebuking demons, like we saw last week. But only here does Jesus rebuke another person. And I think that's significant because it shows us again what it means to truly be demonic. The demonic is all the forces that roam about this world trying to corrupt our bodies and minds and bring ruin to that which is good and beautiful. The demonic is when we view other human beings as less than fully human. It's the way that we're willing to sacrifice, even amputate others, so that we may feel safe. Like the Samaritans or the Pakistanis in North Waziristan. It's the way that we turn a blind eye to the fact that innocent people are dying daily, all so that we can maintain our regular ways of life. It's how we marginalize those we've never even met. So when the disciples display their willingness to destroy their enemies, and even worse, link this act of destruction onto God, Jesus rebukes them. For Jesus has no patience in all the games we play which link violence to God. So Jesus says it like it is. This desire is demonic. It's diametrically opposed to everything that God stands for. And it needs to be rebuked, cast out, expelled forever. There's no room for destruction within God's people who are always called to make room for life to grow, to blossom, to flourish so that God's beauty can be everywhere. Demons are all the powers of hell that rage around this earth. So I don't think it's a stretch to call weaponized drones demons of hell. For they are the evil spirits of the air, specters in the heavens, shadowy presences. I find it fitting that we have named our drones after a demon, the MQ-9 Reaper, the emblem, the Grim Reaper, the angel of death. The U.S. Reaper fires hellfire missiles from heavens, fire from hell consuming in our skies, leaving behind trails of human suffering, grieving widows, orphaned children, young lives snuffed out, so much human suffering. All to fulfill our desires of vengeance, all to make us feel somewhat safer. Consuming fire coming down from the skies. But these forces are evil. They're not just destroying those who they bomb like the family that I mentioned earlier. They are terrorizing people on the ground, too, at an alarming rate. The presence of drones hovering in the skies 24 hours a day is triggering mental anxiety and bodily harm, psychological damage and death in the lives of those on the ground, too. That's what I learned this week, as I brokenheartedly made my way through the drone papers which were leaked years ago by a courageous individual who saw how evil these drones really were. Those living under constant drone surveillance have to face the constant worry that they are powerless to protect themselves, that they may be fired upon at any moment, that there's nothing they can do to save themselves or their loved ones, that they might be next. The drones are all over my brain. I can't sleep, reports a man from a village in Pakistan. When I hear the drones making that drone sound, all I can do is turn on the lights and sit there looking at the light, hoping that this isn't it. A politician from that same community talks about the suffering of his people, who often complain that they wake up in the middle of the night screaming because they are hallucinating about drones, night terrors. They are part of drone warfare. Children have lost their mental balance. They are afraid all the time, says Nabel. She was one who suffers from recurrent drone attacks. My young nephew is always scared and crying, running towards his mother saying that the drone has come. Another resident comments that his friends are mentally disturbed as a result of the drone flights. He continues, "We can't even sleep anymore. The plane's loud sound keeps us up. Even if they don't attack, they don't have to. The fear of the attack is always in our mind. Head pain, terrorized brains, fear overwhelming the mind. These are just some of the results of killer drones. If that doesn't sound like the work of demons terrorizing minds and bodies, then I'm not sure what does." As God's people, we are called to rebuke all the demonic practices and institutions which have infiltrated our lives and our world, whether they be prisons, detention camps at the borders, hopelessness, drone warfare, and the like. For as Paul once famously proclaimed in Ephesians, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of darkness, against the evil forces of the heavens. As people of Jesus, we are being beckoned to continue this ministry of Jesus, the one who is our Redeemer and who battled against the demons that sought to destroy God's movement of life. This means working against all the forces of evil that eat away at our humanity, at the goodness of God and the wonder of creation. Against all the forces of this world which roam around, corrupting our minds and our bodies, which are bringing ruin upon that which is good and beautiful. All the things that dehumanize, which devastate and destroy. Drones are just one such thing that we are called to fight against. So let that always be our mission, to struggle against the evil forces everywhere which are bringing destruction to anyone, to break free from all the ways our minds and our bodies are being ensnared and trapped by vengeance, exclusion, and death, to leave behind all of that which is causing innocent people anywhere to be killed, so that we can disarm these demons which are eating away at the wonder of God's creation and are eating away at us too. Instead, let us commit each and every day to work with God, to battling these demons and creating a new world within this world. This world centered around peace, around love, acceptance, around forgiveness and grace. This is the world that Jesus brought about. And this is the world that we must bring about too. Amen.